In the Bible, a lot of exciting stories. We're at a stage where we're reading through our life journal, we're reading a lot of the stories of the Israelites through the book of Judges. But we're going to backtrack a little bit today and go back to Moses and Joshua. These are probably two of the greatest heroes of the Exodus story. Moses and Joshua. Moses and his protege. And it's kind of interesting because if you look at their story in detail, you can compare and contrast them in some significant ways. Remember, when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and they were traveling, and they told, and the Bible tells us that instead of going a direct route, they kind of circle around to the Red Sea. And when we see in the story of Moses' this Exodus, we see that God did all the miracles and demonstrated his awesome powers before the Israelites responded to him, right? Remember, the Israelites, they were enslaved for a long time, and they were not even sure if God remembered them, and they were crying out to God. And so when Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea and crossed over and exited Egypt, we see that before that, God actually did a lot of awesome things. Remember the plagues? God turned water into blood, the frogs coming out of the River Nile, the gnats flying and flies, you know, getting everywhere, boils, hail, locusts, and so forth. And then when they finally came out, there was the pillar of fire at night guiding them, the pillar of cloud during the day guiding them, and even the angel of the Lord blocking the army that from Egypt that was chasing them, just so that they can escape, right? It was just an awesome experience. It's like they were just alone for the ride. You know, they didn't have to do anything. God was just doing everything for them. And then, remember, they were at the shore of the Red Sea with the enemies behind them and nowhere to go. So I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 13 and read what happened there. Okay, Exodus chapter 13. I want you to read from verse 19 to 22. Exodus 13, 19 to 22. And I'm going to do something different. I'm going to have those of you on my left, your right, read this to the other half of the other congregation, okay? So I'm going to have you guys read in unison, and I'm going to read along with you because I'm going to draw something as you guys read. Okay, so why don't you guys stand up, face them, and read it to them, okay? So let's all stand up. Okay, ready? All right, so 1, 2, 3. Good, very good, thank you. Very good, good job. Now, one of the interesting details about the story is that, see, when they were crossing the Red Sea, God told Moses to raise up your staff, right? And then when he lifted up his staff, the Red Sea parted, right? The water just kind of got up and then it became dry ground, right? And then you see the fish. Right? A bad fish. But anyways. on the bottom of the seashore, and the people just cross over. People just cross over. Right? But what happens is here is that actually God made the sea part at first. And then people walked over. Now, we're going to advance the story 40 years later. Okay, we'll move forward 40 years later. Now, this time it's Joshua taking the Israelites crossing the Jordan. Okay? So they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they have experienced God's constant presence with them for a long time. They still see the cloud of the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, and they're eating manna, and they see rock became a spring of water, and just miraculous signs of God. Now this, but now they are going into the promised land. They're going to promised land. Now, so I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. And I want you guys on my right to read it this time. And so I want you to stand up and read Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Yeah, stand up. Stand up. Joshua chapter 3. I want you to face the other side of the congregation. I want to read, I want you guys to read verses 14 to 16. Okay, so you ready? Okay, one, two, three.
So when the people broke camps and crossed the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. The ark of the Jordan had such a lot of orders of the Jordan. The priests who carried the ark of the covenant were the priests who had the ark of the covenant.
Okay. We need to practice how to read better. Now, the difference, now this time there was no staff. This time the people actually step into the water, then the water piled up, right? Just kind of stopped and it became dry. Then the people crossed over. Right? Now, This is a two very different picture. The first one, I think, is a picture of God's work of salvation for us. See, He did all the work prior to our response to Him in our salvation, right? God sent His Son here to die for us, took on our form, even born as an infant, stripped of His glory and power, and He went through all the human struggles, and He did all the work of living a perfect life and then finally dying on the cross. And we don't do anything. We simply receive it. Just like when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, going through their experience of God's deliverance, God's salvation, they didn't do any work. They simply received it. But when the Israelites were going into the promised land to claim that promise, the abundant and glorious land and life, this time they actually need to step out first. As they crossed the River Jordan, they in fact stepped out first before the river parted. And remember, the passage tells us that the river was actually in the flooding stage. It's very dangerous to cross. But God is saying, I want you to step out first. Then I'm gonna stop the water, and then you'll be able to cross over. Now, see, I think for us, many times we need to step out first in order to experience the things that God wants us to experience supernaturally after we have accepted Christ. The gift of salvation is free. We have it already, but for us to receive that abundant life, just like the Israelites, it takes a step of faith. Just like you're never going to experience the mosh pit unless you jump on the stage and you actually jump out, right? I mean, you can stand there all day long and you're not going to know what that feels like unless you jump out. And you're not going to experience it by standing around. Salvation is kind of like crossing the Red Sea. Right, if you look at our Christian life as a continuum, the point of salvation is like crossing the Red Sea. Okay, and the work is done for us already because of Christ. What Christ has done, all we need to do is receive it. But after that, it's like crossing Jordan. Because we need to step out first. Step out in faith first. Okay? And this is this part, this section here is what we talk about in terms of theology. That's what sanctification is about. That's what abundant life is about. God has given us the life, but if you want to grow to be like Christ, you actually need to step out in faith first. We need to step out and practice obedience. And this is what we see in the life of the Israelites. If you remember, go back to the trace back to the story of Joshua leading the people into the promised land. Remember when the priests step into the water, right? It's like the priests step into the water. God came and parted the water for them. Right? Parted the water for them. But they had to step out first. And then God does the supernatural work. And then after that, they had to circle around Jericho, right? And once again and then again and again. And God told them, don't go in there with your weapons or whatever. Just go with your trumpets, right? I will not bring trumpets to a war, right? Just to fight my enemy. Bring the ark. They said, just carry the ark and just go in circles. And, you know, that doesn't make any sense. But God says, you know, step out in faith. Do that first for 7 days. And I'm going to come and the walls fall, right? The walls all fell. God came after they stepped out in faith. And then we see that again and again. Ai was like that, the next city that they conquered. They stepped out and then God came under their feet. And then God continued to do that with the five kings. Remember, if you... Five kings, same thing. After they step out, God came back. God came under their feet and defeated the enemies for them. See, when you step out in faith first, as God directed, God always comes under your feet so that you have something to stand on. In fact, God always comes through because in reality, He was there before us. Right? God always comes through because in the invisible reality that we do not oftentimes do not see, God in fact goes before us. It's just that to us it feels like we're stepping into thin air because we don't know. We didn't know that God is already there. But from our perspective, we need to step out first in order to experience God being there already. If you read Joshua, let's turn to Joshua chapter 5 and read this passage together. And listen to what's going on as Joshua is about to fight the battles. Joshua chapter 5, 13 to 15. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandal, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." So what's going on? See, this is another one of those Christ theophany in the Old Testament where Christ was there leading the army of God and he was showing Joshua, "Hey, I have been here. I'm here. In fact, I'm going before you. You step out in faith and cross over the river. Now you're going to go into Jericho. I want to let you know that I am here already." See, the invisible reality that is that God, in fact, goes before us. So when we step out in faith, we're going to step on the ground that he provides for us. And such active faith where we act by stepping out first is required to experience this supernatural God that we believe in. Many of us went to see the movie Amazing Grace. It's a story about William Wilberforce a week ago. And it was an awesome story because he's a statesman, right? He's a politician. And the story tells us that at one point in his life, he sensed the presence of God, the call of God, and it seems like God was it was drawing him into his presence. And at that moment, he thought maybe God wanted him to enter ministry. So he was ready to just head on to a monastery and just use his voice to praise God, and that's all he was going to do. But his friends challenged him, saying, "Are you sure that's all you're going to do? There's a big cause. There's a big cause. There's people suffering. And you can make a difference." And so he was struggling between the two, and he felt a call to do both the work of God and the work of political activist. In fact, that's what God called him to do. And in fact, the two was one of the same. It's the same call for him. But he was battling against the impossible, because the culture of value is where they where slavery was seen as a profit source, where the whole economic and political system were against him. It was for slavery, and in fact it was a global phenomenon, because France and America back then were both very involved in the slave trade. So he was fighting against a world culture. It's not just a culture of his country, but a world culture, and he stepped out in faith and gave his whole life to it. And it was a journey of a lot of suffering, as the movie then showed, and if you read about his story, but he stepped out in faith, and God was able to use him to basically abolish slavery in the entire British Empire. Act out, stepping out in faith, and then we'll experience God's supernatural work. If we look at our church here, and this is a picture taken just not too long ago on the Valentine's Day event. a year and a half ago, there were six of us meeting because we felt that God wanted us to. And we stepped out in faith. We felt that we didn't know what God was going to do, but we felt that God wanted us as families, as couples, we want to get together and see God and learn how to fellowship. And during that time, another group of us were meeting on a regular basis, just talking and praying about the English ministry, and we felt that God was leading us to focus put priority on the family ministry, starting with the married couples, and because we believe that if we're able to experience strong marriages, and that's going to result in strong families and health, and it's going to result in healthy teens and children, and there will be more people available to mentor the younger generation. So we feel that God is leading us to do that, and so we step out in faith and start to pour our efforts into it, and these things, God just kind of put these two things together. And then 6 months ago, we felt that God wanted us to take another step, and we expanded that one meeting of six people, and now we have probably two dozens of people meeting on a Friday night. A fourfold increase, because we didn't know what's going to happen, but we stepped out in faith. But if we didn't do that, we would never have experienced God's supernatural just coming in and giving us ground to step on. See, in all these cases, people would not have experienced the supernatural God unless they stepped out first. If the priest of the Israelites said, "God, I want to see the Jordan River part first, just like what you did in Red Sea. I want to see the water recede before I step out." They would still be stuck on the other side, on the wrong side of the Jordan River. Right. Or if Joshua said, "God, I want to see you strike the city of Jericho first. I want to see flies there, just like back in Egypt. I want to see hail raining down upon them. I want to see dense clouds that you're going to send on them to confuse their army first before I go." He would never be able to enter the promised land. Right? If the six of us back then said, "God, I want to see a large group of emotionally healthy people first before I become transparent and vulnerable and get into fellowship with others," we would never have merged fellowship on Friday night. Because all of us were broken and unhealthy and have problems. and we'll never be able to get anywhere unless if we did not step out in faith first. See, we experienced the supernatural God because we stepped out in faith first. Now, of course, the problem that we have is, well, we're afraid, right? But that's okay. Fear is normal. God knows that we're afraid in our life circumstances. It is scary. And the people in the Bible, they are not immune to this struggle. And God, in fact, God designed fear as a danger sign for us, because God designed fear in our system, so we know, so we're aware of the danger surrounding us. And so it's a warning sign. And God knows it, and God recognizes it. And that's why in Joshua, one night, God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, because I'm with you. Right? We're going to have a little exercise here. I need 6 volunteers. Okay, come on, Johan. I need 5 more. Okay, come on. Come on, guys. We need 6 volunteers. And I need chairs. Okay, come on up. All right, Ryan.
Oh, heck no. Can I fall? No,
okay. We need 1 more. Come on. All right, man. Okay. Now, I need you to sit here. Okay. But I need you to sit this way. Put your feet that way. Okay. And Ben, I want you to sit over here. But face this way. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. Okay, Matt, you face that way.
Like this?
Yeah. Actually, no. It's that the wrong way. Face this way. Face out. Yeah. Okay, and you. Okay, go. Good.
Okay.
Now I want you guys to lie down on each other's lap. Okay, get closer though. Get closer. So you can actually rest your whole upper body on that person's lap. Okay, you need to get pretty close. Can you get up for a second? Get closer. Okay. Good. Now, I want you guys. I'm gonna count to 5. You guys get comfortable. I'm gonna count to 5. I want you to take the chair out. Okay?
No way!
Okay, ready? Okay, ready?
Oh my God!
1, 2, okay, count to 3, we'll take the chair out. Okay, 1, 2, 3! Okay, you guys gotta prop it up. Yes. Yep, okay. Alright, man. Okay, good, look at that! Okay, let's put it back. put it back. It works! That's a step of faith. I just wanted to demonstrate that. See, they didn't know what's going to happen, right? But they trusted me. That was a big step of faith. And it actually works when we take out the chair. I didn't know if it was going to work. We didn't rehearse. we didn't rehearse beforehand. We done it once in Taiwan, actually, with a different group doing a missions trip. But it works, right? And the thing is, unless they trusted and they step out and they try, you know, they had to come up here. That's a big step of faith. But it's awesome, right? Wasn't that fun? I think later on, a whole bunch of you guys are going to go upstairs and grab chairs and you're going to try. Yeah. God told Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Don't be afraid. and you step out first, you'll be able to experience God's supernatural presence. And I think for a lot of us, we're in a stage in life, or maybe we have some experiences in life right now where God is using to tell us, hey, it's time to step out in your faith. You know, maybe there's a directional change in your life. You know, maybe it's a calling to new directions. It could be a career change. It could be an area of ministry. It could be maybe in relationships, you know, maybe a dating or marriage relationship where God is telling you, I want you to do something different. I want you to trust me. I want you to step out in faith and experience me coming under your feet supernaturally. Maybe God is saying, I want you to step out and work on a relationship with certain individuals. Maybe I want you to go try to mend that or reconcile that relationship. Or maybe even setting a loving boundary in order to create the best possible situation for a healthy relationship. Stop rescuing that child or that person, that family member, so that that person can experience God's discipline and God's hand bringing that person back. Or maybe God was wanting you to step out and ask for forgiveness in humility and be willing to change. Or maybe God is telling you, I want you to step out in faith in a lifestyle change, because he wants to free you from certain addictions and bondage of sin. Or maybe God is saying, I want you to reprioritize your time. Because I believe that when we do all these things, when we step out first in faith, you know, most of the time we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But that's okay. But I believe that if we step out first in faith, we will be able to experience growth, spiritual growth, in ways that we never knew possible. We'll be able to experience freedom in ways that we didn't know that was possible to us. We thought maybe we're just stuck in this sin. We can never break free. That's just part of being human. No, I don't think so. And maybe you think this is all the satisfaction I can experience in life. No, I don't think so. I believe that the life that God has for us is awesome. It's abundant. And you and I can experience it if we step out in faith first. So I want you to take out your bulletin and just let's come before the Lord in quiet, in stillness, and listen to him. What is it that he wants you to step out in faith in? And in what areas of your life does he want you to step out in faith and trust in what he wants to do? And I believe that we can experience the supernatural God by first stepping out in faith. So let's take a minute in quietness. Just listen to God. And write it down. Okay? And write it down as something that you're going to act on. You know, the good news for us is that as we step out in faith and as we determine to act upon something, you know, we don't have to do this out of our own strength. If it's really out of our own abilities, I don't think we'll go very far. Because we all struggle. We're all weak. And that's the good news that we have as followers of Christ, that he has done that work of salvation. And not only that, he has given us a new life in his Spirit. His presence is with us, who enables us to do the things that he calls us to do. And today we're going to spend some time remembering just how awesome that grace, that work that was done for us, and how marvelous and how powerful that work really is in our lives.